Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
Hi, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, brought to you by Omaha. Omaha Audio, Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show, and joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss. Martin Weiss, I might mention, just back from Las Vegas. How did you do? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
It'd be a serious thumbs down, but like Julius Caesar and Gladiator thumbs down, like that type of thumbs down.
Oh, no.
It was honestly, Sal, you were giving me that money to bet on the way out of the door from Extra Points on Thursday was such a harbinger of the weekend to come for your boy that it was not positive on the gambling front for me.
Wait a minute. Either you or no, I don't understand what harbinger means here, because I did give you money to bet as you left Thursday, right? You jumped on your electric bike. You're going to drive to Pahrump and stop in Vegas on the way there. Now, but I also said, take 20 of this $20 here and put it on number 23, the first roulette table you walk by. 23 was my football number in high school. I made it famous way before Michael Jordan did. I don't know that many people know that, but that is the true story. Did you, in fact, check? I'm going to ask, did Martin actually put, because there's no way for me to check on this, did he take my $20 and put it on 23, or was that lunch money?
Boy, that is a fascinating question to ask, and one that we'll never actually know the answer to unless we get him hooked up to a lie detector test. It's funny because I've just been talking with my kids about like the idea of morality and like, would you rob a bank if you knew that there was no chance you could get caught? Would you take that money? And it's interesting.
Right.
The answer, same thing. I'm going to go with yes, because I am in a heads tails thing. I want the right side to come up. Heads, I'm going to ride with Martin Weiss's decency and he did place the bet.
Now, listen, before you respond, Martin, the only way we really check is right. The only way we'll really know is if you flash $700 right now and say, Cousin Sal, you were a big winner, 35-1, whatever it is. Did you, in fact, place the bet?
I did place the bet. And as Dave was going through his run, I Googled harbinger to get the definition. And that bet was definitely, it's the second one that I hear by Merriam-Webster, which is something that foreshadows a future event. Because I lost that bet, Sal. I lost that bet before I even checked into my hotel room. I lost that bet. And you know what I did until Monday? I lost consistently. I lost on the 49ers. I lost on the Bengals. I lost the roulette. I don't even know what else I could lose it, but I'm probably lost in that too.
Let me ask you this. What number came up if it wasn't 23?
Seven.
That was pretty good.
I don't have to guess because I remember, Sal.
I think he answered quickly enough, Shaq. And I shame
right
on
up.
Me. Lucky seven wins, and I'm not even there for it. All right. So,
Or is he an expert level liar who just knew? Say something quick, because that's the thing. If you pause, he knows he's got. But you know, it's funny you say, or Martin just said, like, your boy had a bad weekend. Correction, Martin. You might be among his boys, but his number one is Tony Romo. And the big takeaway from this weekend with the refereeing and the two number one seeds and now a juicy QB matchup in Super Bowl 57, it feels like rising at least near the top of the pile is that America now is down on Tony Romo. What gives here? What did he do wrong?
I think Martin started it. Martin started it last week, and it because he didn't like the fact that he showed affection to Josh Allen. Tony Romo did last week, or whatever it was. And then it spiraled. Yeah, I don't understand. I actually thought he had one of his better games. I love the Drexler comparison. I took the sports guy to task with that. I said the only reason he doesn't like it is because he didn't think about it. people are mad because they don't think Drexler stacks up to Joe Burrow. It's like, well, this was a dream teamer. What would, you know, this is that's a fine enough comparison. in a NBA final that was like minus 180 or minus 200. People thought Drexler and the Blazers were on the Bulls' heels for sure. But you're right. I think Romo did well. There was all some other nonsense yesterday pointed Tony Romo's direction that I'm not even going to get into. But
oh, my God. That is so outrageous that you can't give it life because it's insane and correct. It's embarrassing. Yes. And water finds its level. And the two guys who do that show together deserve each other. Same thing. Right. I mean, two kooks, but I'll say this.
Yes.
Also, what Romo proved is, for once and for all, a high-end QB who's been in some big-time ball games pointed out what should be true to everybody, aside from the snarky and arrogant sports media members who insist that wins in the postseason don't really matter that much for a QB's legacy. Of course, QB wins matter. They care. The players care. Everybody should care. These are the moments that we live for as fans. I don't know what we even talk about there. The only thing I disagree with Romo on is the idea, because he's trying to be empathetic and saying, like, nothing to hang your head about there, Bengals. This rivalry is going to go on, and these two are going to see each other time and again going forward here. We don't know that. That's why these games matter so much. We have no idea what the future holds. We know that Mahomes now, 5 straight title games, third Super Bowl at this age. It's quite a thing. And
I'm with you.
It would be upside down if it were Burrow there.
And I think, my thing with QB wins, and I've listened to you explain it a few times, is I don't understand. I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand who's giving you pushback. Why do you even have to spell this out for people? What is this really a big thing where people like,
oh, yes,
the better quarterbacks aren't the ones who do well? Like, I say,
way smarter than I am, like Mina Kimes and Aaron Nagler and so on and so forth. Like, Matt Verderam, we just had on the show too, was advocating against.
No, he was. And I listened to him. He's like, yeah, for the most part. He said, you're right for the most part. The better quarterbacks do better, they have the most hardware. That's how it is. I don't think it's the be all end all. I think as close as that Cincinnati, Kansas City, I think you're doing a disservice to yourself as a fan if you say, like, oh, I'm not even going to watch the games. I'm just going to add up the trophies at the end. You have to look. You could maybe make a case that Burrow was saddled with one of the worst offensive lines in all of football for the first 4 years. That's maybe why he only won 3 out of 4 against Mahomes. So I don't know. It goes a little back and forth, but I'll give you that. Tie goes to the more prestigious Super Bowl winner, I would say. Martin, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just glad now that it's evident, right? Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. Because I've been pounding the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow bandwagon since last season. But at no point did I ever think that he was better than Patrick Mahomes. Now, if he had won this game, we want to start having a discussion. We could talk about it. But Patrick Mahomes still would have been the better quarterback, right? Wins, losses be damned. I'm watching the games. Right. So I think honestly, the whole part of the QB wins thing is when somebody sits up and tries to tell you, oh, you know, Kirk Cousins has had 22 wins in his last 2 seasons. Like, that guy's a winner. And it's like, well, sure. If that's how you want to quantify him, you got it. But ultimately, I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think that anybody is clamoring over quarterback wins.
Coming through in the big spots, which are January and now first Sunday in February. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care what Kirk Cousins does in October. I care about what Joe Burrow does matched up against the other high-end quarterbacks when the games matter for your legacy. And Burrow, if he had won that, we would be talking about, like, maybe he's not as physically talented, but man, that guy just wins. He beats Josh Allen. He beats Mahomes. That would be the rhetoric right now. Anyway, proceed. Let's talk about Super Bowl
57. Well, that's it. So Super Bowl 57. So according to Caesars, Philly, 1.5-point favorite. Went down from 2. Some Chiefs money coming in. The over-under hovering around 50. It's 49.5. This is the last day of January, Shaq. We are now 13 days away from what I'm labeling the worst day of the year, and that is the day after the Super Bowl, which is the day which is furthest away from NFL action than we'll be all year. And I can't help but to get depressed over this. And then we'll go into whether or not these two teams deserve to be there. But how are you coping with the fact that we're very close to the end?
Well, what I've had to do is, someone whose favorite football team is on the outside looking into the entire tournament, I've turned that page, spiritually and emotionally already. I'm looking ahead. I'm one of these have-nots who's now trying to look at what the teams that have done well this January did and how my team can adopt it, and more importantly, how I can be a part of implementing that plan.
This is going to get you through the next 5 months, 6 months, 7 months.
It has to. What am I going to do? Watch the Penguins, who may not even make the playoffs now? That bet's starting to look good. It's very sad. And I always think about how special Super Sunday is. And I know we get cynical about it, too, that it's a big corporate event and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, I have to say again, please, if you watch Travis Kelce on the podium and it tickled you or annoyed you, and if you watch the celebration in Philadelphia, I hope that this ends any talk about neutral site championship games. But okay, now the Super Bowl will always be neutral.
It should never have even started. It
makes me crazy, but okay.
It's stupid.
The Super Bowl is here, and I remember always what marks it for true football fans is once Cousin Sal, right after I met him, he invited me to a Super Bowl party, and there were like 50 people there, and he wore a tuxedo to it. That's when I knew it meant something to you. And it was the Giants and Ravens, too.
It was at Corolla's party house. Jimmy and I bought the food. We put it together. I wore a tuxedo, and everyone thanked Adam on the way out. Adam maybe showed up in the second quarter. I don't know. We'll get to the officiating, and I guess we'll start with Kansas City, Cincinnati. But 52 million people tuned into that game, by the way. And I want to get to the officiating because it was amongst the worst I've ever seen. Like, that was a clueless crew. If you had told me now, except that I've seen these guys before, but if you had told me that was the first time they ever stepped on the field together, I would have believed it. I really do. But ultimately, Martin, I feel bad for the Eagles and the Chiefs because Purdy and the refs dominate these post-game discussions, and not the fact that the Eagles and the Chiefs deserves to be in the Super Bowl, and specifically that Mahomes' heroic by sports measures contribution really should be what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly the Osai one, really, the last one, obviously, the one that moved them into field goal position. That was obviously the worst of the penalties, but like obviously an obvious call. They were just such a part of the story, especially in the AFC game, that it was just like, man, because I mean, as somebody who was big on the Bengals, and it wasn't the cumulative effect of any particularly bad call. Like, the worst call still is Bill Vinovich not calling the pass interference with the Saints and the Rams. But this situation, like, even though most of the bad calls, Kansas City went 3-and-out afterwards, I think it's just a cumulative effect of like, bro, what are you doing as a referee? That really,
they lost control. They were clueless. Yes. And I guess it was cold and you couldn't hear, which didn't help. Right. There were times, I know what you're talking about, the play with the third down that they counted it at not play. I do want to take Sheck to task a little bit here, because you did say the push out of bounds, which wasn't obvious. And it's sad for the guy. You have to make that call, Sheck. Sheck, you're out of the conversation if you start saying, don't call it. Let the game play on and stuff like that, because you need consistency. If there's one thing we need, is consistency. So you can't say, no, that's okay, just let it play on. He's got two feet in the white, and then takes three steps and shoves him. Now, a little bit of an acting job by Mahomes, but you must call that.
I completely get it, but it's funny that you say consistency, because that is my issue with it. If you look at the play, Osai on Mahomes 2 feet out of bounds, Osai extends his arms, that's a penalty. In a vacuum, as people keep saying and playing with funny math, like a million times out of a million, 1,000,000,000% must be called. But either way, I get it.
I don't know if you're impersonating me, but I'm 100% right. Well,
is that what you said? Okay. Completely get it. But in the exact same football quarter, I mean,
I don't think it was the same. I know you're going to bring this up. It was
Joe Mixon had 2 feet out of bounds, and the defender.
He's facing the field. He's facing the field. I get it. It was a lot closer than it was. We could do this all day. I mean, people were picking up holding calls that weren't picked up in the game. And listen, now there's talk that Burrow shouldn't have been called for the grounding, because if that ball passed the line of scrimmage,
it was the grounding and the 3rd-and-9 replay. Right. and that, the intentional grounding were the two calls that I hopped up off the couch. I'm losing my mind because I'm looking at the running back 3 yards away from where the ball landed. Like, that's a pass attempt. I'm sorry. Like, he's throwing the ball to a receiver. But honestly, though, my takeaway for after Championship Sunday, after getting my up like that, you know, because everybody's sitting up blaming the refs. People are sending me pictures of this, and that's not a hold. It's a rip move, or it's not a what's a rip move? It's a hold. All of this,
right?
I realized this is on me. It's my fault, and it's all of our faults. Because you know what we did during handicapping all of these games? Not once did we mention the officials. You know what we do after almost every primetime game? We mention the officials. Why don't we build in who's officiating the game into handicapping these games? Because if you had looked at it.
Well, but the Sheffer's crew was 9-0 with the Bills when they played the Bengals. So that didn't work. It didn't matter, at least. It didn't figure into the final score.
Well,
so.
I mean, not every trend is going to cash, you know what I'm like? But it's for me, at least, it was like, all right, well, if I had known that John Hussey was 6-0 while the Eagles were calling him, maybe I would have hedged my 49ers future.
But by the way, Sal, as far as consistency goes, the consistent theme was, and I think that we start seeing ghosts or whatever the fan watching referees in action equivalent of seeing ghosts is, I feel like we're watching it. And then we started to associate, we started to blame them for everything. And, you know, the Mahomes push out of bounds. It's like, that's crazy. They screwed it up again. And I think that's human instinct. It's like, but we've seen a pattern of behavior and, you know, the craziest call, the three worst calls I've ever seen in a pro football, pro football. Bird Emanuel in what was that? The 99 NFC title game, the catch that changed.
Tampa,
what is a catch thing? The Tampa thing against the Rams. The Troy Polamalu interception overturned in Indianapolis in the divisional round in January 06.
All and the calls one, against the Seahawks versus the
number,
Steelers.
Oh, pipe.
Okay.
Oh, be a bum. Right. And then number one is the aforementioned Rams and Saints game in the Superdome, whatever that was, 3-4 years ago. But no, I've never seen anything as weird. No call. I've never seen anything as weird as a do-over. In the fourth quarter of a title game, that this septuagenarian guy is, well, I blew the whistle. Yeah, no one heard it, including the lead official, including Patrick Mahomes and the other 10 guys on the Chiefs who were facing you. It didn't impact the play at all, that they gave a redo. And then the thing that is gross to me from the outside looking in is, and by the way, I have no spiritual reason to be supporting the Bengals. I'm just watching the game. I mean, I have nothing.
Well, I'm the other way. I have more money on that Bengals than you can imagine. And I have a gigantic gambling ego, and I did not want to go 0-2. And it would be easy for me to blame the refs. And they were awful, believe me. But, and if you're talking about like, it had no impact on the play. That play, that call had no impact on the game because they punted. Maybe there would be a little more time.
But so, I'm saying, but this is where the conversation comes from of like doubting everything because they clearly are incompetent. And so would we possibly trust that the intentional grounding? What I mean, and then it is weird that in the booth to some degree, like Sterator, we go off of him. And one of my favorite recurring things is that the networks, you know, thought like, this will placate the masses when we have a TV ref explaining what his colleagues are thinking down there. And instead it's been the exact opposite. It was like, I didn't really see PI there. I don't think I would have called that. So now we're infuriated times 100 because of the incompetent.
You know what the equivalent is? It's like getting pulled over, by a cop, and the cop said, hey, you were doing 80 in a 65. And I said, no, I wasn't. I was doing 67. And the cops, the cop buddy there is right beside him. He's like, yeah, he's right. He was doing 67. And he's like, oh, I'm still going to give you a ticket.
Well, you got the ticket now.
Yeah, that's it.
To your point.
Crazy. Yeah.
The whole premise of those progressive commercials is throwing the red flag in real life situations. It's absolute abject absurdity that these people are like. But this is the second playoff game to me that the refs really may not have had the biggest impact on the outcome. But you could not ignore the fact that they were there. Like last year when Dallas played San Francisco, I understand that Dallas was running out of time towards the end of the game. But ultimately, that spotting of the ball mess was a whole was a bit much to like. And I get that. Like, but where's the ref running from? Like, why does this even have to be like this? Why is this the way that it is? How is it that the guy stopping the play is running in from 30 yards back? I mean.
Okay, I like perspective, right? I really do. I'm a huge fan of perspective. And a lot of this is my fault that we're now gone on about the refs for 20 minutes and what's going to be a 55-minute, hour-long podcast. But I do still think we should talk about Mahomes more than anything. And honestly, I don't think the better team was knocked out because of the refs. Bottom line, Joe Burrow had the ball tied twice in the fourth quarter. He had 2 minutes, the better part of 2 minutes, and timeouts to get a field goal, and he didn't get it done. And they got off to a slow start, and Mahomes was way better than any of us thought, right? He just was. It's like, oh, my God, he's making these throws. He's firing it in between defenders. He's not moving. He's not scrambling, but just about where he's going to at the line of scrimmage, he finds someone at the last minute. I still think it was a spectacular Mahomes accomplishment, and we're not talking about that. And that's why I think we should just give it perspective, because I also don't think, and I want to bring Eddie Spaghetti in here, I also don't think we could realistically fix the officiating. And Shaq, this is where you're going to disagree with me. You think we deserve perfection here, but I honestly think you're just going to grow up an angry fan if you think we're going to fix this. The only way we could fix it, and I don't even think this works, is if you have world-class, you know, sprinters, Olympic sprinters, right, putting on officiating suits. And also they have the eyesight of like fighter pilots. And even then, you're not going to be able to tell if the tip of a ball hit the ground. So Spaghetti, when I go after you on Twitter or whatever, I just think it should be perspective. I know you wanted to do a lap for, you know, acknowledging that the officiating sucks. Yeah, it sucked forever. It's like arguing about paying taxes. Like, yeah, I hate it too, but let's look at the game itself. Are these really not the two best teams? We're not looking at the Bears and the Texans in the Super Bowl, are we? Because of the officials?
Yeah, I don't agree with that stance. I think that 10, 15 years ago, we were never talking consistently about the referees.
I think Twitter has blown everything.
Dal's right about that. That's
sure. True. Yeah. But also look how many of the hit on Mahomes, like at the Osai hit going out of bounds. And I agree with Dave when that, like Dave tweeted, like the Mixon hit, like that's something that wouldn't have been called 10, 15 years ago. There was, like, I understand it's because of player safety, like the late hits on the quarterbacks, like the Dexter Lawrence play versus Kirk Cousins in the wild card round, like that, those kind of calls were never going to be called years ago. And again, it is because about player safety. It is because the social media, like, you know, the people are complaining more, but I think unfortunately, like the refs are going to be retrained to kind of skew back to calling stuff similar to what it was, you know, a decade or two ago. And I think that's while still keeping in mind player safety, concussions and all that. And I do think it's possible. I do think the expedited call, like the booth reviews are definitely possible. And I think that number one, keep the crews the same. These all-star crews, don't mix and match. Keep the officials the same and make them full time. I think that will actually go a long way.
Well, I agree with that to a point, but I also don't think they're going to make these. I don't think anyone could be truly great at this. I really don't. And maybe I'm giving everybody an out. And you're right. All right. The mix and play. Just, I think all we could ask for is consistency, right?
That's right.
The game is so damn fast. The rules are so vague. I don't think you, all right, take for instance, the Devonta Smith catch, right? We'll get to the Eagles in a second. Okay. How do you fix that, check? If you want to replay everything, how do you fix that? This is something where everybody was like, oh my God, great catch. Best catch of the year. We see it in slow motion twice,
you
right?
You guys thought live that was, I'd hand up what? Live was saying that was not, I said he did not catch that.
Really?
Ball.
You're in the minority off, though.
I said off the before he even got up, I was like, he did not catch that ball.
Okay, you, a few others, I have to think most of the country, I know me for sure, I know Kevin Hench, who goes nuts on the officials, definitely was just marveling about what a great catch that is. The slow motion replay on my 75-inch TV certainly showed that it was a catch, and we didn't see a definitive replay saying it wasn't until after they ran a play and it was a touchdown. How do you fix that? There's no way to fix that. You can't.
I do think it's funny that really the play that you could make a case most impacted title game weekend was the Devonta Smith catch or non-catch there. I mean, that's a very particular one. I hear your noise. You're absolutely right. How do you fix that? I think the solution is, and I marvel at the fans who have Stockholm syndrome, who feel obliged to defend the refs on like the Mahomes hit out of bounds. Like, I mean, people on social media, really grown-up people are taking 11 seconds out of their lives to type at me like, well, it's a point of emphasis this year, so they have to look out for it. Like, point of emphasis? We're in the last 30 seconds of the AFC title game.
Now,
the
see, now you're getting crazy. Now you don't belong in the conversation. If you're saying that's not a penalty, you don't belong. If you want to say it's inconsistent with something else, then that's it. You can't say because there's a minute left, all right, all bets are off, guys. Hey, pull out your pocket knives, too. You can't do
it. I can't stand it.
NHL and NBA do it. I mean,
The NBA is wrong for that, too. The last
completely invalid as
the first 46 minutes.
The referee sucks in every sport. Like, every single sport, this is a problem. Are you kidding me? Every pitch is an inch off. Like, I'm not defending the NFL refs. They could be better. They have to be more consistent, and they have to communicate with upstairs or New York better. They must get that better.
That's the answer. The idea, the canard that has been sold to us, first of all, it's all based around, for the NFL, around on-field control. They're obsessed with on-field control. I understand the explanations, but I would prefer that you go to the nerve center. In fact, you don't go to the nerve center. The nerve center comes to you, as in the lead official in his ear, like, hey, Carl, that wasn't really a catch there. You should overturn that.
I agree.
That just took 3 seconds to do. There's no reason anybody in the world would know what the discussion is.
Except for that Devontae Smith situation I get, where the Eagles rush to the line of scrimmage and snap it. I think that's – just forget it. If you want them to get that right, you're just going to be a very unhappy
fan. Well, a human being, I will say, to just push back on that one in particular, is you could – I mean – a little humanity would go a long way here, like a little empathy, like, well, obviously that guy knows he didn't catch the ball based on the way he's behaving himself. Like, if you could use some logic, that would clarify.
Now we have to get in everybody's head and we're going to look into the psychology of everything.
I'll say something nice about Mahomes. On that in the fourth quarter, Marcus Kemp was out there running routes. Yeah. I didn't know who Marcus Kemp was, so I looked him up.
Receiver. Yeah.
Marcus Kemp has 6 times as many tackles as he does receptions prior going into the AFC Championship game. What Patrick Mahomes did on a bum ankle, no matter who was calling the game or who was playing defense for that matter, was nothing short of spectacular and one of the best things that I watched in a football game. And
there
I
you wish go.
That, like, it would have been That's nice if the refs hadn't have been that much impact. But the refs were an impact, but ultimately, at the end of the day, like, the refs weren't over there holding Mahomes up and helping him throw the ball.
That's all. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. I'm with you on that one, fellas.
And
you
know, I was 0-2. I hated it.
Yeah. I live for these moments and what the whole season is for. That I build them up. I don't try to knock them down. Like, it's only 60 minutes. It really doesn't define anything. Oh, yes, it does. It will define it for generations who wins this game. I get the, I just hate that it takes away from it that these old guys in hats running around and the chip on the shoulder arrogance after you redo the one play, the 3rd-and-9, to then call holding on Eli Apple. That's where it's like, I mean, again, I'm talking about empathy. Like, do you not have enough sense to know that the whole world is screaming
now?
What the hell are you doing? Now you're going to tack that one on top of it? A makeup call. Other leagues can make up
calls. Enough. Football.
I get it.
Football. We only have one more game left to talk about. No more rest.
You're right.
How about this? MVS. What a performance. That was the Gabe Davis level performance in the same stadium.
Really great.
That was something.
Really great. And they shut down Kelce in the second half. And I think, Martin, you put it out. But that was Kemp's 5th catch. He had 4 before that, right?
He had 4 going in and had 24 tackles because he played special teams. Because he plays practice squad, because he doesn't play.
3 rookies in the secondary. You know, it just it was actually a pretty remarkable game for the Mahomes. Like, the extra point staff, 11 out of 12 of us picked against the team that went to the AFC Championship for a 5th straight time and was basically a pick 'em with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. That shows you where everyone's head was. And so there you go. Sheck,
did you
maybe
see, Sal, that Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes' trainer tweeted that out? So perhaps we were the last people to.
We were the last ones.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that says about the injury, because we're accustomed to high ankle sprains resulting in crutches and players not being able to walk for 3 weeks. And so, and by the way, all these guys have undergone 4 to 5 hours a day worth of treatment. Maybe we find out whatever drug they shot into them is beyond illegal cartel level crap. But either way, Burrow Mahomes, check whether Romo's right or not. Is it now the best NFL out of division rivalry?
Ooh.
I know. I hit you.
Yeah, that was a surprise question for me.
Well, it's better than Mahomes.
You know what I like? I like the AFC as a collective of these high-end QBs battling it out. You want to throw Allen in there?
Okay.
I like Allen, and I do. I know I'm a dummy, but I do think Herbert is a part of that conversation, and perhaps Trevor Lawrence is, and of course Kenny Pickett is in it. So yes, and we'll see where Lamar Jackson lands. I think
so I'll answer your question is yes, because these are the two guys that keep bumping each other out of the playoffs.
Well, when there's
Josh Allen gets beat by both of these guys before they get to this round.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Rather than decide who's better, Burrow or Mahomes, we could probably say with certainty that this is the best rivalry outside of a division, I think.
Absolutely. Right now, yeah. If Joe continues to win at this level of consistency, then absolutely.
Check. I think you said 49ers Cowboys.
I was just going to say, to me, in this millennium, I think that we've now gotten several generations, iterations of this rivalry. I think that will carry the day. This is a one-off. Chiefs versus Bungles. Yeah, I mean, I'll ride with Cowboys and Niners going forward.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. And there's a whole NFC side we didn't talk about when we return.
Have you been betting with the Caesars Sportsbook and Casino app? If so, keep it up, because every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means win or lose, you're getting closer to amazing perks like game tickets, free stays, bonuses, and more. And if not, well, when you get started, your first bet is on Caesars. Register with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. 21 years plus only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wager only. Must register with an eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit, $1,250, must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms, void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so the Eagles dispose of the Niners 31-7. Another one I was wrong about. By the way, I like this one even better. I did not like it when Josh Johnson came. Actually, I did. I tweeted that I liked it. I was like, you know what? When it's 7-7, I like the way this defense is playing. And I still think the Niners defense was the best unit out of all four teams had to offer. But they also fell apart. Lots of penalties down the stretch. They gave them 7 instead of what could have been 3 right before the half. Obviously, the roughing the punter. And then, you know, not that this was the defense's fault, but the Devonta Smith, if that's called correctly, or if they were able to review it or whatever, then they have the ball and it's not 7-0. But I think, again, another one, this becomes about Brock Purdy and his arm and the injury, but the Eagles, pretty dominant and 9-1 against teams with a winning record, and I hate them. I absolutely hate them, and I'm rooting against them in the Super Bowl. But, Martin, they deserve to be in the title game.
Yeah, and I was with you, Sal. When I saw Josh Johnson come out, and I was like, wait a minute, this can't be that bad. And then I was like, what the hell was I thinking? And I must have been thinking the same thing as Kyle Shanahan, because what are you doing at the end of the half? Like, why do you even give Josh Johnson the opportunity to fumble? Just take a knee, bro. You need to go into the half, like, or just run the ball. Like, where are you throwing it to? But, so it was a fun ride with the 49ers for a while with Brock the Rock. But, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure about when that 49ers offense and 49ers offensive line, and we look at it, you know, Trent Williams all pro, obviously, but every time they drive back to pass against the Cowboys, Micah Parsons was in his lap, or one of the other defensive ends was in his lap. Here, you're looking at, I mean, you lose two quarterbacks. I mean, Hassan Reddick knocked out Purdy, and then you lose Johnson again to a concussion. I mean, but it wasn't like he just walked out there and got concussed. Like, he got concussed because he was getting hit, you know? And so it's interesting to think about this 49ers team. If they don't have a lead, or if they're not able to run the ball effectively, because I always thought it was just like he was just against Garoppolo. Maybe this offensive line is not what we thought it was supposed to be. Or
maybe, I don't know.
Dropping back and passing. Because,
you know, Shanahan really could have, it was too tall a task, right, with Josh Johnson in there, Shaq. But I thought they'd run some gadget plays. I thought McCaffrey would throw a pass. I mean, 4th-and-3 running Debo right into the line wasn't going to work. I don't know, for such an imaginative play caller, I thought, as someone who had +14.5 on a monster teaser, I was hoping for a little bit more, but it was an uphill battle no matter what. What do you think of the 3-quarterback rule? I was thinking, oh my God, this is terrible in a league where they're all about the quarterback safety and all about how the look of a game goes. You need to carry 3 quarterbacks. They should force you to. And then I'm thinking, Josh Johnson didn't take any snaps in the regular season, for the week leading up. What was the next quarterback going to look like? Does it even matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is the takeaway from that game is there's nothing to take away from it. I mean, Purdy goes out and you're throwing Josh Johnson off the street into the game, and it's too bad Jimmy G wasn't ready, because that's a fun alternate reality, is to consider what if he could have come in that spot, how that might have turned things. And I really think there was a window there, even with Josh Johnson. And to Martin's point, clearly, there are two pretty clear-cut ways in broad strokes to skin the cat and win games in the NFL now, which is superhuman QB, or you just are going to have to grind it out on the ground and really pound teams, which is what the Niners have to do and what a lot of teams are going to try to do in this offseason, is build up and copy that Eagles model at the line of scrimmage. That's the best unit in these playoffs is that Eagles offense. And it's because of that offensive line. They can just beat the hell out of you. They really did more or less handle a really good night. I hear what you're saying, though, because if the Niners, I tweeted it with maybe 3-4 minutes left. If this game goes to the half tied, boy, those stands are going to be awfully unsatisfied. And that permeates its way down to both sidelines. Like, what the hell is this a ball game for?
Even 10-7 with the Niners getting the ball would have been miraculous. Niners
got the ball to start the half, too. They were in, not only in business, but you're in about as best business as you can be with Josh Johnson as your quarterback.
And when Josh Johnson's doing it, imagine that. I mean, just Philadelphia. I mean, the reputation of the fans precedes them. But imagine, especially there in that spot, like, Josh Johnson's in the game. You better win this one, Sirianni. How all the good vibes would turn negative when the clock's ticking down. Like, there are only 17 minutes left in our season. If Jalen Hurts doesn't do something, man. That gets real bad. But, you know, once it got away, you know, especially with Josh Johnson, once they get up a couple scores, you're like, all right, let's move on to the Super Bowl now.
Martin, I was you talk about a bed ache. This is pretty bad. I don't know if you heard me talk about it on Against All Odds yesterday. I had Kelce 5 or more receptions. He had 7. This is a parlay. He had 7. I had the combination of Kelce, Higgins, Pacheco, and Boyd to have 2 or more touchdowns. That was also on the parlay. Kelce and Higgins scored. That's a winner. Mm-hmm. Both teams, all 4 teams actually playing to score 10 points. The Eagles, the 49ers have 7 with 8:37 left in the second quarter and can't scratch out 3 and never get to the other side of the field the rest of the way. How does that?
That's a tough one. That is the tough. You know, for whatever reason, I was looking at, I mean, not for every reason, I was looking for something else to bet on. I saw the field goal prop was 2.5. And I was like, should I take this? And I was thinking the whole time, wow, the 49ers have not even moved since the second half started. I'm so glad I didn't take that. I'm sorry for you. So that's brutal.
Thank you.
I mean, you couldn't even get like a fumble. And plus, and the other thing too, Philly was still like running offense the other side. Like you couldn't get a pick six. Right. Nothing. It wasn't like they were just running the ball. Philly was throwing it in the second half a little bit.
So bad for me.
I have a fun question for you, and because everybody said like, oh, they, and obviously I do think that the league will address that, because that was a real bad look that Josh Johnson and then Christian McCaffrey, all that crap with who's going to be the emergency QB, that they'll have a third one available. Here's a fun question. If you're the Niners and you could have any of your QBs right now in the state that they are in January 2023, and you could take them off the shelf and put them into the game, would it be... You know Jimmy G's hobbled. Josh Johnson isn't good enough to really do it. Would you take Steve Young? Elvis Gerbach? Who are you putting into the game? Your number one. Colin Kaepernick? If you could put Colin right off the screen. Like, get in there, man.
I'm about to say, Colin Kaepernick got some rushing playoff records that are insane.
He would be the answer, right? He would be if you could drop him in.
There's not a backup from like 2 years ago who's actually like suited up and is somewhat used to the speed of the league. I'm not sure. I can't think. This is any former 49ers quarterback?
Not in their prime. I mean, like, you know, Joe Montana, 65 or whatever he is? Like, you wouldn't put him in. He probably wouldn't make, although he's a winner. You. See, he's a QB wins matter and he would do it. But yeah,
there must have been some backup. Who's the backup?
Nick Mullins,
I think, like a CJ Beathard type, who's actually like, I don't know, thrown a ball in the last few years, maybe. Brian Hoyer.
I think I'm going Cap.
All right. Okay.
It's an important thing to figure out. Yeah.
Do you do going forward? If you have to put odds on it, is it Purdy against Lance? Is it like Peter King says, one's 1A, one's 1B? I know he's on the shelf for 6 months, Purdy, but that gets him back what, July? And then they go into August, see who wins there, and Garoppolo's traded. What do you say? I think Purdy's still minus 220 to take the first snap. Check.
What I'm going to bet against is the Tom Brady buzz. I know he would love to play with his, wear the uniform that his idol Joe Montana wore and all of that. But also remember 3 years ago, all the buzz, I was in on the Chargers for any number of reasons, making sense from a football perspective and his legacy and all of that. And somebody told me close to Brady, like, that's just not going to happen. He's not leaving the East Coast because of his kids. And that proved to be correct. So why is it different now? I think he stays somewhere. Somebody said to me Nashville. That's an interesting option. I'm thinking Miami. They can say whatever they want about
it. I've heard Carolina. We've now gotten to the point where I'm starting to talk to people who have listed a definite destination spot for Rodgers and Brady. And it changes every 3 days. It really does. It's like, no, Brady's definitely going to the Raiders. No, he's going to the Dolphins. No, I said that. Oh, no, I meant he's going to the Niners. Like,
no.
Try to keep track, everybody.
I'll keep track right here. I'll create an audio record.
I'm not saying you. Go ahead.
Brady to the Dolphins, Derek Carr to the Panthers, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, and Lamar Jackson to the Atlanta Falcons. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. There you have it.
Maybe we do it like that. Martin will, I'm not prepared for this yet, but it really is all speculation. I have no idea what Brady
You don't know that. I know things, Sal.
I'll say, this is my biggest issue with people. I generally do not have any beef with unnamed sources because I understand the reason and why they exist. But the protection of an unnamed source in this moment, like, maybe you don't need to give it because maybe somebody's giving you wrong information or whatever, but like, or maybe you just don't need to, maybe you really need to have that source squared away because sources are going to say that Brady's going to be attached to about 7 teams between now and the start of next season. And it irks me because it feels like I could just say sources say Brady to Seattle.
Of course.
Why not? And then, you know, the Rappaports of the world would be like, oh, nah, that's not true. But my sources says this, and my sources says that. And I should throw in Pelissero and Schefter and my sports update guy, just so no one thinks I'm singling anybody out.
Yeah, the I hear he doesn't want to live on the East Coast thing. It's like, okay, but what, he hasn't said anything. So it's just, it's all speculative. Anybody who needs a quarterback is in the market right now. By the way, 47 million tuned in for Eagles 49ers, which in a way, well, first of all, those are giant markets, so it makes sense, but that is spectacular in a 3-touchdown game with one team that doesn't have the chance of throwing the ball 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. Football's here, people. It's not going anywhere.
What happened to everybody who said they were never going to watch it again? People like Eddie Spaghetti are out there threatening not to watch this Super Bowl because they don't like the matchup. I get it, but I think I get where people, if you're an NFC East lover, especially a Jints fan, I gave me no pleasure to watch the Ravens playing in the Super Bowl. I get that perspective, but I do see just people who don't have rooting interest reasons to not like this Super Bowl. Like, this one doesn't do it for me. It's like, it's the two number one seeds. This is great.
I agree. I think all the storylines are there. There could have been better ones. Spaghetti, can we stop arguing about the refs for a minute and just band together for our hatred of the Eagles? We're pulling for the Chiefs here. Why don't say you're boycotting. We have to root hard for the Chiefs.
I'm not boycotting. Dave mistook what I said. I said
no. He said he was going to watch. Right.
I'm watching out of obligation. I think the Eagles are going to steamroll. It didn't matter who. I saw enough of that AFC title game, and I'm like, does not matter. Mm-hmm. Eagles are going to steamroll both of them. With how bad the Bengals offensive line is, and then the Chiefs, just with the lack of weapons and Mahomes trying to play hero ball, I just think the Eagles are the more complete team. They're going to roll, which is going to suck, you know, massively for me and you, Sal. And just like, yes. I know I want to avoid the refs, but the main takeaway of the weekend is the refs tainted it, and I'm just kind of tired. Carl Sheffer is the official for the Super Bowl, and he's the league leading the last 2 years in penalties given and per game. So it's just going to be brutal, and I don't need to see the Eagles have another. They'll put up a statue for Nick Sirianni. They'll fire him in 2 years, and they'll get back to Super Bowl in a couple years after that. I'm tired of it.
I hate it too. I don't know. I mean, the one line breakdown of this is, yes, the Eagles are more complete. Are you tired of betting against Mahomes and losing? So that's what you have to choose right there. The Empire State Building, you have to choose. It lit up. What a talk about betrayals. What the hell was that? Green and white. Babyface Joel Solomon had a good line. He said, well, they had, you know, how long are they going to wait around for the Jets to make it? So they had to use they had paid a lot for the green and white. And that was that. But that makes me think we're in fantasy land right now. Shaq, Ty Huntley named to the All Pro team as an alternate.
That's what made me think we were in fantasy land. Sal, that right there.
I mean, well, you know, what
that. I commented that Scott Rowland is laughing at this. it's not a Pro Bowl game, right? I'm sorry, with all due respect to the Mannings who are facilitating this, and it's going to be a fun weekend. It's just a skills competition. I don't even know if it's that anymore, but it's a skills competition, right? Don't call it a Pro Bowl weekend.
I mean, what's to be said about this? It's an absurdity, and I think the fact is my guess would be, I have no insight on this, but my guess would be that the league went out to other guys because there are guys who would deserve it more than Ty Huntley.
I've heard that's the case at this point. Like, they actually go out and say, hey, can you show up? We actually
because it's a bad look. Like, hey, we're going to replace it with blank. Like, oh yeah, he also is refusing to show up. That's even worse. Yeah,
like Mac Jones couldn't make it, and they need bodies for these events. So Ty Huntley's in there. But Martin, does this crush Lamar Jackson's choice chances?
You know, I think, contract? I mean, at the negotiating table now in Baltimore, Lamar's going to have to say, you know, I mean, the Biscotti or Bichotti and everybody else, Harbaugh will tell him, hey, yeah, backup made the Pro Bowl, baby. What you want me to do?
Yeah, and we have a Pro Bowler on our roster here taking snaps. I don't know what you expect from us.
You know what else? I just saw this come across about 15 minutes ago. Derek Carr has been named to the 2023 Pro Bowl games. So
after brothers are joking, he's going to have to wear the NFL logo instead of, I don't know if they have a helmet for the skills thing, but yeah, I guess he's a Raider, but he's not going to put that thing on the side of his head at this point.
Now you got to imagine, you know, whoever, wherever he's going, now I got a Pro Bowl quarterback.
If I'm Josh Johnson, I'm funny here. I step out and talk about how I was snubbed. Right? It's like, why am I not in this game? This is ridiculous. You see me? I played in a championship game at a high level. And
I do
fumble the ball when nobody
those things. There are those things in the contracts that if you make the Pro Bowl. So I wonder if anybody does just fall into $500,000 as a result of this would be super funny.
On the contracts is one thing. Someone from the Hall of Fame weighed in on this, and I believe you have to be a first team. I think you have to be named to the first team, and none of this subsequent nonsense matters to be truly considered, I think. But yes, the contract, the incentives and stuff like that, I think it's still in there if you have that Pro Bowl tag right beside your name.
It is interesting. You talk about like the Josh Allen. This is not a collision thing. I completely get it. As I've said for decades, it's ridiculous that you would have in a collision sport an all-star game where a guy can get hurt. Well, I wouldn't show up for that either if I were owed $60 million or something like that. But Josh Allen, I mean, my goodness, this is a bad look for the league that Josh Allen's like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm doing a pro. I'm going golfing instead. I'm not.
Maybe he has a gambling problem. Maybe he can't go to Vegas. I could like maybe he's like Martin just can't go. Can't be there twice in 4 weeks. Martin,
I don't have a gambling problem. My only problem is I lose too much.
Right. You need a solution.
Say one more thing before you go. But before you move on there, you've got.
Yeah.
Did we get to the bottom of who did that at the Empire State Building for real? Like, who did that? Who thought, here's something that'll be nice. Let's put green and white up.
Apparently, people they light it up all the time.
People were saying it was spaghetti. He was so fed up with the league that he was like, you know, he's like, I'm going to turn heel here. I don't know. Yes, I heard that too.
That's outrageous. You know what? The Pittsburgh mayor tweeted out, hey, congratulations, Pennsylvania's in the Super Bowl. Hey, mayor, screw.
Right, right. Yeah.
Jack Lambert, new mayor, interim mayor. We're not allowing you to do it. Mario
Mayor.
You're in. You're
mayor of East Town.
Anymore if you're congratulating the Eagles, celebrating Pennsylvania. That has no weight on the banks of the Three Rivers.
They're not a good week for mayors anywhere, I would say.
Yeah, right.
Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. All right, let's take a quick break. Then our play of the day. All right, play of the day for Tuesday. Hey, I hit a great one yesterday on Against All Odds. I had Texas Tech +1.5 over Iowa State. Texas Tech was 0-8 in the conference and had lost to Iowa State by 34, and they were only getting 1.5. I was like, this is a rat line. I'm going the other way. I'm taking Texas Tech. And check, your Bobby Knight's crew really stepped it up. Actually, they stepped it down because they were down 23 to the Cyclones and pulled it out in overtime. That's my win. I might not get a better win than that all year. 80-77 for my play of the day for Tuesday. Yeah, it was really crazy. For Tuesday, Jalen Brunson. Some say our friend Jerry Ferrara says he's an all-star. Well, it's playing like one. 23.5 is his over-under tonight against the Lakers. He's hit this 11 out of 14 times in January. He's gone over 23.5. He averages 21 shots in January, averaged 15 and 16 in the previous months. This offense runs through him, and I think it's going to go over. I'm playing the percent. I don't know why this number is so low. I'm going over 23.5. Martin, what's your play of the day?
I'm going with my hometown team, the New Orleans Pelicans, who have been on a disastrous slide over the last 8 to 10 games or so. I think they've lost the last 7-8 in a row and the 2-6 against the spread in that stretch. However, Jamal Murray is questionable due to injury management. He's not going to play. They're going to rest him. And CJ McCollum did not play well the last time these two teams played, and it came down to the final basket. I got 7 points here, so I'm taking the Pelicans in the 7.
All right, check. I think you have to go. You have to steer clear of hockey because they're not putting any games on there for you.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the Penguins started their All-Star break, I think 3 weeks or so ago. I don't know what message they got. It's not looking good there. I'm not terribly worried yet. Either way, you know, when you mention Texas Tech, I always say, how can St. John's or DePaul, like, how can you not, if you're Chris Mullin, just go like, if you leave New York City, if you're good at basketball and leave New York City, then you are a traitor to your homeland and don't ever come back. I'm only recruiting within a 45-minute drive of right here at St. John's in Jamaica, New York. And if you've shamed the devil, how are Baylor and Texas Tech now powerhouses? Now it seems like every year. It's very weird. Texas is
they're bad. Texas Tech is bad. I just told you they're 0-8 in conference. Yeah, they had no business.
But I mean, I'm talking relevant year, you know, most year play, tournament contenders.
Oh, all these teams.
Well, that'll be Panthers. Weird.
The Pitt Panthers, right. Well, that's a good point. Correct. The Pitt Panthers are tracking towards Federico. They whipped the U, who paid a visit to the banks of the Three Rivers over the weekend and left with an L like UNC did before them. And now the U is going back home to play bum Virginia Tech. And they're only laying 3.5. And you talk about a rat line. This team was ranked before they played Pitt. What in hell? The Hokies stink. I talk about rat line. It gives me some pause, but I'm going to, as do those ugly uniforms that the U wears. So the orange and the.
All right. So you're playing into the rat part of it.
-3.5. No, I'm going to take the U. I'm going to take the
U. All right. There you go. Our contest winner last week, Connor Tekauts. I don't know. How would you say that, Chuck? Tekautz. Tekauts? It's going to have to be one of those two. 9 right. Good Tuckets. Job by you. 10 Tuckets. All right. He gets a gold cap. There you go. Maybe take that down to town hall and change your name with you. Wear that. I'm not sure. Just keep the name. 9 right. It's going good for you. Hey, our playoff fantasy competition here, Lemon Pepper Parlay. Will Blackman, I want to give him a shout out here. Put this really good squad together. This was, you take 14 players on your roster, one from each playoff team. And Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin and Will, even though we know it's Will, we'll put it together, have Kelsey and A.J. Brown and a 14-point lead over Waiver Wired, which is Spaghetti and Jen, which is Kelsey and Hurts. It's pretty close. I don't know. Who would you make favorite? So essentially it's Hurts, 14 points down against A.J. Brown. Shaq, who would you rather be?
I think I'm going to ride with the QB in that one. Mm. So I'll go with Waiver Wire there, and it would be real black eye for the fantasy show to lose to any other show. Ooh. I'm pleased to say from -3, me and Hench and Spaghetti play traitor and ran off to Jen Piacenti's side. Oh, she fantasy expert. Not riding with his guys at all. Fine. So be it. He made his bet. At least we're not going to come in last place. I think that's cinched, right? I'm pretty sure because we have Mahomes and Hurts left. So I don't think there's a path for us to wind up in last
place. Well, it's just the opposite. I have A.J. Brown.
Right.
You have Mahomes. I have Mahomes. It was me, Meatballs and Babyface Joel Solomon. We both have Mahomes. You have Hurts and I have A.J. Brown. It's like the opposite of what's going on with the top two. So it's going to be bad. We're going to have to dip into the cap of consequences.
Spaghetti, but we could also catch people ahead of us. Yeah, if my math is terrible, but I think we could at least the main goal is.
Well, you're not getting waiver wired because they have exactly the same guys and they're ahead of you. But Spaghetti, you rather be in your situation or Martin and Will?
Oh, I mean, definitely in ours, just because we have the quarterback, and I just think that if Hurts, you know, does his thing on the ground and scores with his feet, that means that, you know, obviously A.J. Brown's not getting those points, and anything that Martin gets with Kelsey, we have, so that'll cancel out. So I feel pretty good about that. A.J. Brown hasn't had the best postseason. Adoree Jackson did a number on him, even though they didn't have to really throw the ball. But I'm just hoping for not a second place finish again. Last year we lost to Toby and Brett, team covered in glory. So back to back second place finishes would be pretty brutal for me and Jen.
I think, if you finish in second, you have to get a number one Green Eagles jersey. That would be
cool.
I
think you're at the bottom of the standings. I think if Eddie, to your point, if your A.J. Brown, they haven't been throwing a dang old ball. Like, if that the pass to Devontae Smith is the longest pass they've thrown. No, it's not. The first pass of the game against the Giants. But they've thrown the ball deep or over 30 yards twice.
I think this is close, Martin. First of all, I want to hear from Will. He's the one who drafted this team, and I'm sure he's like frantically texting you about what are we going to do? Well, there's nothing you can do.
Oh, the numbers are set. As soon as I'm waiting for him to respond to that Super Bowl guest list as well, you know, I get all those at the same time.
I would say Hurts is, I think this is dead on. I think Hurts would probably be expected to score 23 fantasy points, and Brown would be expected to score about 9, 8 or 9, right? Is it this?
I do think it'll come down to the wire, but offensively, I mean, they only had 270 yards of offense yesterday. Joe Burrow had 270 yards passing yesterday. So, like,
Sunday. They played yesterday? Oh, my God.
God, dog. And I do this Somebody called me out this on Twitter, too. I get the day wrong all the time. But
let's bet $20 on it then, Sal. Because it's the same thing. I'll bet on Spaghetti's team, and you bet on the other team. Because on Martin's team.
Because we both have the same thing.
We have the same incentive to root for. I'm rooting for Hurts. You're rooting for A.J. Brown.
All right, $20. But listen, let's try to pay each other here. We do this for fun. Hench has a big mouth about, oh my God, I instituted this thing where if you're the only one betting on a team, then you get $10. Like, all right, show the $10, right? Spaghetti, I spoke on your behalf and Martin, and I'm sure he didn't pay either one of you, right?
Hench did. He texted me separately. He asked me for my Venmo and he paid me. So I appreciate that.
$2 commission. I would like a $2.
You witnessed me pay Eddie Spaghetti $5.
That's right. You were almost there, but no one paid.
Halfway home.
Yeah. Martin, by the way, we had, I told you we had Bob Parker on. I put in a Bengals bet for him. I said, how do you want to get paid? And he said, oh, just Venmo me. I said, well, Martin says that black people don't use Venmo, and he lost his mind. He said, that's crazy. And you're an insane person.
Well, I mean, look. Try to get a Venmo out of somebody not named Rob, but because Rob Parker would never not have a way to take money from somebody. If you're gonna give him some money for something, look, he'll have all avenues available.
All right, Rob was your former host on Lemon Pepper Parlay, co-host. Now it's with Will Blackman. Listen to those guys this week, Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti on Waiver Wired. We have Megan Fun of Sports. We have Covered in Glory. We have Against All Odds. We'll be going over some props. Check. -3, you and Hench coming up. You had a good one yesterday, and you and Hench and Eddie on Thursday.
That's right. Matt Verderam from Fansided and his own great podcast was a really good guest for us. I think we found a nice up-and-coming star to kibitz with periodically. But yes, then Hench later in the week.
There you go. And we'll be going to, thanks to Omaha, thanks to Caesars, a handful of us will be going, me and Spaghetti and Sheck and Martin and Mikey Meatballs. And some others, Jen Piacenti, are going to be going to the event right there in Glendale. We'll be on Radio Row all week. I would say come by and say hi, but I don't think you can. You need like a credential. They do like a.
They usually have it blocked off. You can shout to your favorites there.
Oh, yeah. Shout to us.
Yeah. Shout out to us right in the middle of an interview. If you see us talking to, I don't know if we're Joe Burrow, shout and interrupt us until we pay attention. Right. I have to go there because we have to figure out if this Super Bowl is a must-win game.
Yes, you should ask that at media night, and that's going to be great. Always fun to look forward to. And yeah, shout out our names, and we will turn around. And I specifically remind you that even though you may feel like an underdog, you're all my favorites.